The United States has still not officially responded to an Italian judge's order for the arrest of 13 Americans, all said to be CIA officers or operatives. They are accused of snatching an Egyptian imam from the streets of Milan 2 years ago and sending him to Egypt for questioning. According to the cleric's family, Hassan Mustafa Osama Nasser was tortured by his Egyptian interrogators. Joining us now is Ruth Wedgwood, a professor of international law and diplomacy at Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies in Washington. Welcome, Professor Wedgwood.
Thank you.
On what legal grounds is this case based? Is this international law, treaty law, or just plain domestic Italian law?
Well, none of us have the warrants in front of us, I don't think, but my supposition is it's Italian law. That there are criminal codes in every country, and if the Italians believe that the imam was taken without appropriate authority, they could characterize it as abduction or, if you will, kidnapping.
How do the Italians go about putting these accused Americans on trial? It seems extremely unlikely the U.S. is going to turn them over.
I think the first question that the Italian government's going to ask itself is whether this was done with either the explicit or implicit authority of the Berlusconi government. It could be the criminal side of the house not talking to the intelligence side of the house.
So if the Berlusconi government had given the U.S. permission to do this, would that get the accused Americans off the hook, or could Italian government officials simply end up being defendants too?
Well, it depends, I guess, on issues of Italian constitutional authority. One constraint that the Italians have is that they are under the European Convention on Human Rights. And at a minimum, that Human Rights Convention, as others, requires that whenever somebody's returned to another country, that there be a reasonable assurance that the person will not be mistreated.
The U.S. does have this policy of extraordinary rendition, but I think it is assumed that if the U.S. is going to do this, they do have the permission of the host country where they're picking the person up.
Well, there are two separate issues that one would face. One is the rights of the person involved and what those rights are under local law, under international law, even potentially under American law. And the second is the sovereign claims that the government would have in the territory where you're acting. And I do think it's the case that oftentimes governments acquiesce or even covertly permit things that they would not want to be seen in public as approving. I mean, for example, if you have a country that is itself concerned about terrorist acts in its own territory, it may not want to seem to be provocative to folks who live there.
What about these 13 people accused? Are they now stuck in the United States?
I wouldn't recommend a Florence vacation for the short term. I mean, normally, when countries engage in intelligence operations abroad, they will often use diplomats who have absolute immunity for the period while they're posted there as diplomats.
And I suppose even if these people went to another country, they might be extradited under that country's agreements with Italy.
I suppose in principle that's the case. I mean, intelligence folks often have fictitious names for a reason. My old colleague at Yale, Michael Riesman, often spoke of the kind of operational code that countries have amongst themselves that they may not speak of publicly. And oftentimes things are done in intelligence operations that aren't openly admitted to by any of the participants. But I do think that there is a great puzzlement amongst many countries about what to do in situations where you have somebody whose behavior may not rise to the level of local criminal conduct, but they're felt to be dangerous. And I don't know if that's the case with this gentleman. But one has to figure out a solution that's consistent with basic human rights norms. And it's not a matter of being sentimental. It's a matter of wanting to keep our good name in the world.
Ruth Wedgwood is a professor of international law and diplomacy at Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies in Washington. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.